Merry Christmas. For those of you I haven't had the opportunity to meet, my name is Bruce Chick, and I'm a senior pastor here at Sovereign Grace Community Church, and it is our distinct privilege to have you sharing this wonderful evening with us. What a special time. Wasn't it just glorious to see all those shepherds, all those little angels? I spoke to one of my shepherds and said, "You should have been an angel because you are a little angel." But they're all angels, aren't they? What a special time of year. There was a special time in the life of the nation of Israel as well. In fact, it lasted for about 1,000 years. For 1,000 years, Israelites would journey to Jerusalem. And as they would journey, they would sing from their songbook. See, the book that we call Psalms were used for various festivals and different occasions, and different portions of the Psalms were used at different times of the year. There's a group of Psalms called the Psalms of Ascent that were used as pilgrims, fathers, mothers, boys and girls, families traveled to Jerusalem together. And they would sing these songs. They would sing this one particular song that evoked an incredible promise. Perhaps a promise that you're aware of tonight. It's in verse 8. I want to read it to you from Psalm 130. Imagine just a whole village procession proceeding together up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. Psalm 130. Pay special attention to verse 8. "Out of the depths," they would sing, "I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. O Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love, and with Him is full redemption. He Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins." Promises. Oh, I think some of us during this season are looking for promises as one would look for a treasure. And yet it's a rare happening, an uncommon reality, that we meet a promise kept. You see, it only takes a head nod, a handshake, or perhaps a signature to make a promise. But it takes something far greater to fulfill one. You see, we as a people in this day and age are very familiar with promises broken. From Wall Street to the White House, from our 401ks to marriage vows, from false denials of steroids to scandal in political arenas, we are so familiar, even cynical, about any who make a promise. But did you hear the promise in verse 8? Did you hear God's promise to the people? Can you hear their voices even now as they are traveling to Jerusalem to make sacrifice? Do you hear the promise ringing in their ears? See, even though we are cynical, if we're honest, we have shards of broken promises littering the path of our well-intentioned pledges as well, whether we've made them to our families or our spouses, our employers, our friends, or even our Creator. promises. Promises broken. Promises to devote more time to family. Promises to be there for that friend in need. Promises to address overeating, overworking, overspending, or even overlooking our under-examined life. At the end of the year, we are well aware of the many promises that we have not kept, of the many times we have fallen short of the words we have spoken. Even our New Year's resolutions rarely get past February. But there were 8 words given to a man 2,000 years ago. 8 words that were dripping with promise. They were given in a dream to a man named Joseph, to which we celebrate this season. That man was struggling because he was betrothed to a woman who he found out was heavy with child. And because he was a righteous man, he didn't know what to do with the situation. How would he address this woman? How could he save face in his community when he knew that he had been righteous in his actions toward this woman? Likely, Joseph attempted to solve this dilemma best way he knew how. Yet his way wasn't the best way. And so God intervened in a dream. And he told Joseph 3 things. He says, do not fear. Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For that which she has conceived is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. But here come those 8 words. For he will save his people from their sins. I just want to quickly go through those incredible 8 words that are just dripping with the promises and the reality of God for which we celebrate this Christmas season. He, a simple pronoun, part of speech that substitutes for nouns or noun phrases and designates persons or things asked for, previously specified. It refers back to Jesus, that you shall give his name Jesus, for he. Jesus is the long form of Yeshua, which means Yahweh is salvation, or in the short form, Yeshua, which means Yahweh saves. A simpler word, he, 2 letters, but never did 2 letters convey such majesty. For those 2 letters, that one word, spoke of God himself. For he was God, one who was to be called the Son of the Most High, but at the same time, he was a man, born in an ordinary way. He will. That word will is dripping with promise. It speaks to volition. It speaks of futurity, of something happening in the future, but also of a certainty. It is God who will. And who can stop God if he wills something? Reminded of the story of Cyrus in the Old Testament, where God said he would raise up a pagan king, and his name would be Cyrus, and God would be with him, so much so that this pagan king would be the rationale for the Israelites returning from exile. He spoke this before, hundreds of years before Cyrus was even born, and proved that God controls the military might and political whims of even foreign rulers for the good of his people. He will. Not might, not maybe, but will. He will speaks of God's readiness to involve himself in the affairs of man. He will save. Save is a strong word. It can mean to preserve from harm, to rescue, such as to rescue out of natural dangers. It's used many times in reference to healing, to save from disease, to save from sickness. But in a spiritual sense, it means to rescue from eternal death. He will save. Usually our depth of understanding of the word is proportional to our experience of need. If you were to meet someone on the 8th floor of the ICU at Roanoke Memorial, or perhaps a lost soldier in heavily occupied Afghanistan or Iraq, they would likely have a more acute understanding of what it means to be saved. But for saved to make sense in this promise that God has given, there must be imminent danger. He will save His. He will save His. That precious word speaks of ownership, of intimate relationship. It speaks of His own. Recently, I was looking at a picture that was a decade old, and in the picture it had three of my daughters. And oh, how I just loved to look at the picture, not just because they were cute as dolls, but because there was a relationship there that they were mine, that they had been given to me and my wife. They were chicks. But you see, they were special. They were cherished. They were adored. And when Scripture says He will save His, it speaks of the special, zealous affection of God set on His own. Those to whom He was calling to Himself. He will save His people. Notice that it doesn't say He will save His angels. Notice it doesn't say He will save His animals. Now perhaps some of you today are dog lovers, or maybe tonight cat lovers or wombat lovers. Or maybe some of you, like one I know who's crazy about iguanas. Those are all good things. But God's word and His affection is especially set upon His people. He will save His people from. That word is a scary word, because not only does it imbibe inherent danger, but it speaks to the fact that there's an enemy, that there's something or someone that they need to be saved from. That word is so hard for us to understand here in our country, because we enjoy so much. But God's people, you and I, needed to be saved from death. Death that entered into this world because of sin. We needed to be saved from our mortal enemy, the devil. We needed to be saved from original sin that was passed from Adam to the entire human race, so much so that no infant ever need learn to know how to sin or how to throw a tantrum, for they already knew from birth, because they were infected with sin or saved from themselves. But God's glorious promise to Joseph that night in that dream, foretelling of this one who was to come, He said this: He will save His people from there. Notice the notion of personal responsibility. Not someone else's need, not even God's predicament, but their own. So many times in our society we have heard so many people shirk their responsibility. Rather than owning a situation, they say things such as, "I've let myself down," or "I acted immaturely." But a person can never truly celebrate Christmas until they understand this important word. You see, that it is their sins which cause them to have need to be saved. Not their fathers, not their mothers, not their cousins or their friends, but their. He will save His people from their sin. This is the promise of Christmas. People of Israel were looking for this one. They were longing for this one to come. The Lord had set up the entire sacrificial system in the Old Testament. He had given them the entire Psalter or Psalms, so much so that they would be singing about this one. And there was an anticipation and an expectation in not only old men and old women's hearts, but young men and young women's hearts as well, of this one who was to come, who was to redeem Israel from political tyranny, to restore their dignity and set them free from captors such as the Romans. Listen, but no one, ever foresaw that God would send a deliverer to redeem them from themselves. They sang about it. They were taught. But they didn't understand. They didn't get it. How about you this Christmas season? See, the primary meaning of Christmas is not giving is better than receiving. That's a really good thing. In fact, it might be even better to say it's better to receive God's gift. But primarily, why we celebrate this incredible time is to celebrate this incarnation of the time when God Himself took on flesh to deliver His people and deliver on the promise He made. Did you catch it in Psalm 130 verse 8, 1,000 years previous? Can you hear the congregation traveling to Jerusalem singing this song? Verse 8, He Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. There's no miracle that you will ever discover in the Bible or ever witness anywhere that is greater than the incarnation of Christ, of God becoming man and fleshing Himself and somehow maintaining two natures in one person. But perhaps even more astounding is the reason that God did it. So that His people, could be saved from their sins. So that He could be with them. And so that they could be with Him. Emmanuel, God with us. So that we could be with Him. You see, there is really no such thing as a Merry Christmas without Christ. See, Happy Holidays will never do because it removes the promise. It removes the promise the Israelite nation was singing about. He Himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. It's the promise that Joseph received that night in the midst of his dream. She will bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. A promise kept, spoken in a dream, realized on a cross, purchased with blood, received by faith, and celebrated this season. See, God is the only promise keeper, the one who spoke and the one who delivers. The same one who gave these incredible 8 words, dripping with promise, also gave this promise of 12 words. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It gives us reason to celebrate this season. Do you find yourself in that promise? Can you sing that song tonight? He Himself will redeem Israel from their sins. She will bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. It's why we celebrate. It's why we're amazed. Tonight, I pray that your celebration and your amazement will grow for our one who doesn't merely promise, but keeps every word He's ever spoken. Would you please stand with me as the worship team comes forward?